Forest fires have burned some 6 million acres this year. The Forest Service says that's about double the usual amount. More fires mean more danger for the men and women who deal with them on a daily basis. When a firefighter gets trapped in a wildfire, the difference between life and death can be measured in millimeters. That's how thick the protective layer is on a remarkable piece of fire safety equipment. Kathy Witkowski reports.
They're cynically referred to as shake and bakes, turkey basters, or brown and serve bags. And when you see one, you understand why. Unfurled, it's nothing more than a tiny pup tent made of a thin aluminum foil and fiberglass laminate. Hard to believe it could withstand the extreme temperatures of a raging wildfire, much less protect a person huddled inside. Even veteran smoke jumper Quentin Rhodes was skeptical.
You just feel like they're so small and so flimsy, and you know what fire can do, that if that's a last resort, then you don't have a last resort.
But on a hot summer day in 1994, he became a believer.
I sure as hell was glad I had it that day.
Rhodes and his crew were hacking out fire line on Colorado's deadly Storm King Mountain fire when the wind suddenly kicked up. Thick black smoke began billowing from the trees below them. The sun turned an eerie blood red, and the fire roared like a jet at takeoff.
It looked like there was a strong possibility that we were going to be burned. And when we start to realize that we're not going to get away from this fire unless, I mean, with the information that we had, there was no way to get away.
Rhodes and his crew scrambled up a steep slope to an area that offered some protection because it had already burned. There, they had to do the unthinkable. Bracing against the high winds, they pulled out their fire shelters, climbed in, and lay face down. For the next couple of hours, they listened to the roar as the fire made occasional runs up the slope, felt the heat sear through tiny pinholes in their shelters, and tried to make light of a very unfunny situation.
We were trying to keep each other's spirits up by making silly jokes and asking each other for cigarettes and that kind of thing in order to keep from getting too overwhelmed by what was happening. I think, not to us so much, as we knew that there were other people in a lot of trouble. Well, there were people below us that we had tried to call on the radio that we couldn't contact.
14 firefighters died that day. 3 were inside shelters. It wasn't the first time that had happened. Although the shelters have saved hundreds from death and injury, they aren't foolproof.
This shelter was not designed to withstand severe impact from direct flame.
Leslie Anderson is an equipment specialist with the Forest Service.
For a very brief time, the flames can pass it if they're not too severe, but primarily what we're doing here is protecting from radiant heat. And our training focuses on having people deploy their shelter where they're not going to be exposed to a great deal of direct flame.
For instance, in an area that's already burned or has no fuel, like a road. But it's not just the flames themselves that are dangerous. Firefighting deaths generally result from asphyxiation, not external burns, because it's impossible to breathe the superheated air. Anderson says that's where the shelter comes in.
The aluminum foil on the outside of the shelter actually reflects about 95% of that radiant heat. And so it keeps that area, that air and that space inside the shelter relatively cool.
After years of research, the Forest Service has introduced a new shelter that is more flameproof, thanks to an added layer of silica and foil. But the old caveats remain.
Just because we have a shelter that offers better protection, it's no reason to take greater risks on the fire line. Again, the most critical thing is to avoid those situations altogether.
In other words, the very best shelter is the one you never have to use. For NPR News, I'm Kathy Witkowski in Missoula, Montana.